Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show. Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and today we're going to talk about something I think the Lord showed me about how things are playing out and one of the signs that He told us that we would see that I think I'm seeing. Y'all know that the Lord told me back, I believe it was in 2001, I was driving home from Dallas one day from work, one evening, and He spoke to me. I was praying about something that was going on, and He told me that the time of sorrows had begun. I did not really understand back then what that meant, but I do understand better now what it means. That word sorrows has to do with a woman being in travail, okay? Specifically, the Strong says that it means the pain of childbirth, travail pain, birth pangs. It also means intolerable anguish in reference to the dire calamities that precede the advent of the Messiah, which means the return of Jesus. Okay, so when the disciples asked Jesus how they would know when He was coming back, He gave them what's called the Olivet Discourse, which is Matthew chapter 24, when He tells, you know, the earthquakes, famines, all the stuff, okay? And He kind of lists out the signs that will precede His return. Let me read you some of that, for those of you who don't know it. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation. Now that word nation means tribes or peoples. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences, which means plagues or sicknesses, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. For sure we can see the spirit of offense at work today, can we not? And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Let me say something about false prophets. If you read the Old Testament, and if you read about the prophets of old, you will find a couple of different things. One, you will find that they always preach repentance. And two, you will find that they always brought warnings of things that were to come. As God gave them utterance, they brought warnings to the people, okay? Okay, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, God told me something about that verse once. I thought that meant that people wouldn't like each other anymore. That's not what it meant. God said it was their love for Him that was going to wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Okay, and there's a little bit more, but that's the main parts I wanted you to hear. So I was thinking the other day about how we know the signs and should be able to recognize the signs of His coming. And I remembered that He compared the signs to a woman in travail. Verse 8, where He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. That word sorrows literally means birth pangs, okay? When a woman goes into labor, for all you gentlemen who don't know, the pains start far apart, and they get stronger and more intense as they get closer and closer together until finally the baby comes, okay? Another thing that happens is, as they become closer and closer together, the pain is so intense you can barely catch your breath in between. And they will make you cry out, too. So, we've all seen all over the news and weather about Hurricane Michael that just hit. I was very concerned when they named it Michael because I immediately thought of the archangel Michael, and I was like, oh no, that's a judgment hurricane. That was just my thought. God didn't say that to me. That was just a thought that I had, was that might be a judgment hurricane, because that's the kind of thing God does, okay? He does that. He puts a lot of stock in names and in dates and things like that. He has not confirmed to me it's a judgment hurricane. But it's not often that a hurricane wipes out an entire city. So I was thinking back about Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Florence, and now Michael, the massive tornado that hit Joplin years ago and things like that, and I wondered, could they be the labor pains? And while there will always be hurricanes and tornadoes and natural disasters, when the Lord's hand is against a nation, what you will see are extraordinary circumstances. They will not be just ordinary storms. They will be record breakers. They will be kind of freak storms in one aspect, or sometimes more than one aspect. Just before Michael turned into a Category 4, I told a friend of mine here in town that I felt like in my spirit like it was a judgment hurricane. And I was praying really hard for mercy on the poor, the elderly, on God's people, and on all the animals who have no choice but to be there. And then we watched in horror as Hurricane Michael did things we've never seen before. It practically razed Mexico Beach to the ground. Other than some larger buildings, it mowed it like a lawnmower, y'all. And we've seen that in Texas and Oklahoma. Tornado Alley, you see that when an F4 or F5 hits. It just mows whatever's in front of it down to the ground. And that, when I saw that destruction, I was like, wow, that's bad. That's really bad. It threw an 18-wheeler and a whole train on its side. So let's say that, okay, maybe that's a labor pain. Pretty intense labor pain, but a labor pain nonetheless. Okay, let's say that they've started. Let's theorize that they've started. If these are labor pains, we will be able to look not only at this hurricane, but look earlier this year, look at last year. We should be able to see other events or natural disasters that are out of the ordinary in scope and damage. Also, because we're in the end of the end times and America is not the only nation that will be under judgment, we will see disasters in other countries that fit these criteria as well. And if I am right about the labor pains, and when the labor pains hit, because of God's hand of judgment against us, the storms in America will be different. They will be worse, I believe. So I started to research and I found a site called ranker.com that had some pretty interesting information. So I'm just going to read these off to you. On April 26th of this year, months ago, how many months was that? Almost 6 months. Lauren Slocum wrote this on ranker.com. Natural disasters around the world are occurring at an alarming rate in 2018. Every few weeks, we're witnessing earthquakes that demolish whole cities, wildfires that burn thousands of acres, and cyclones that cause mass flooding and property damage. Now, if these are the labor pains, and I'm telling y'all this so y'all can kind of help me watch. None of us has the whole picture. None of us knows exactly how everything's going to play out. But we can get clues if we look at God's word and we look at the events in the world and we compare them and we listen closely to his words. Labor pains will get closer together and more intense. Okay? Now these that I'm about to read you, she was right. October 10th, 2018, Hurricane Michael. Popular Science said there's just no precedent for Hurricane Michael. Okay, so there's the freak storm. Hurricane Michael caused massive property damage, mowing down most of Mexico Beach. It literally looks like an F4 or 5 tornado hit it. It was just razed. But praise God, not as much loss of life as could have happened, although more than we hoped. At this writing, 18 confirmed dead, 30 still missing. It was only 7 miles per hour short in wind speed of being a Cat 5. This Cat 4 hurricane was one for the record books. It strengthened not once, but twice before making landfall. One of the strongest hurricanes to ever make landfall in the U.S. and the worst hurricane ever recorded at landfall on the Florida Panhandle. Less than two weeks, the Indonesia earthquake and tsunami on 9/28, a 7.5 magnitude earthquake which triggered a tsunami. The buoys did not catch. They have buoys out in the ocean, those little floating things that send signals somehow and let them know if there's a tsunami coming in. They didn't work. That's a freak thing. Okay? Among other damage, more than 1,000 inmates from 5 prisons escaped after the natural disasters, and authorities are asking they return within the week. I would like to bet anybody that they did not go back. I'm just saying. Deaths, 844 lost and counting. 15 days, that's 2 weeks and 1 day, before the Indonesia earthquake, Hurricane Florence, which started around September 13th. This Category 1 storm that people were calling no big deal on social media caused a massive flooding. It slowed to 2 to 3 miles per hour, causing the Carolinas to suffer a 24-hour cycle of torrential rain and hurricane winds up to 90 miles an hour. That would be a big deal anywhere I lived. I promise you it would be. Several rivers, including Cape Fear, Little Neuse, and Rocky Rivers, hit major flood stage in 2 days, up to 40 inches of rain. A week after the hurricane, major highways remained flooded and closed. I remember I-40 on the Weather Channel looked like a river. Those remained flooded and closed, and a dam at the LV Sutton Power Station failed. 42 deaths and counting. 4 days before Florence started, Super Typhoon Mangkhut started the week of September 9th, caused massive flooding and loss of power. Residents of the Philippines started evacuating September 14th in anticipation of a Cat 5 hurricane. On September 16th, the typhoon made landfall in Guangdong, China. I'm probably saying that wrong. Killing 4 people, winds reached 107 miles per hour, which prompted officials to evacuate 3 million residents. Where do you even put 3 million people? There was extensive flooding in coastal areas. In the Philippines, 54 people died, and many were still missing. Death toll confirmed so far, 69 people. 17 days before Super Typhoon Mangkhut, Tropical Storm Lane, which started out as a hurricane headed for Hawaii and was downgraded August 23rd. After 5 days, 51 inches of torrential rain had hit the Big Island, causing hundreds of families to evacuate due to mudslides and other collateral damage. Praise God, no known deaths. 3 weeks before Tropical Storm Lane, the California wildfires started. From an article dated July 31st on time.com, thousands of firefighters are currently battling the flames of 14 active fires, which are threatening communities from Redding in Northern California to Orange County in Southern California. By Monday, the Mendocino Complex fire burning just north of Wine Country in Northern California became the largest ever fire in the state. It has now burned 290,692 acres and is only 34% contained as of the time of this writing, according to California's Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. That's a lot of acreage, y'all. Even in Texas, where I'm from, that's a whole lot of land right there. In 2017, California had its most destructive fire season yet, with an intense series of Northern California fires that scorched more than 245,000 acres and killed 44 people. December 2017's Thomas Fire in Santa Barbara and Ventura counties became the state's largest ever fire, but just 8 months later, the Mendocino Complex fire surpassed it. In less than a year, the largest ever fire record was set and broken with an even bigger one. You know, we've thought often on Joe Brandt's vision from 1930 about the California megaquake. I know I have. Back when I used to find prophetic words and make YouTube videos and just share whatever I'd found with the people that we all kind of hung out with each other back then during the Great Recession, because everybody was just hanging on by their fingernails to their sanity. And so we would all share everything that we found. I remember reading that vision more than once and thinking how amazing it was that he saw the things he saw in 1930 that happened now. Micro mini skirts, men wearing makeup and earrings. He thought it was Halloween when he saw the vision. He thought that he was seeing a Halloween time. And then he saw that huge earthquake. I think that a lot of us feel like, okay, when the judgment starts, that's going to be the big trumpet announcing the judgments have started, as California's going to slide off into the ocean or something like that, or the big quake out there. I don't think that's the way it's going to start, y'all. And God rarely announces anything like that. He is more likely to do just move in quietly, and then things start happening, and you have to figure out that it's Him. And again, we do that by looking at His Word and what He told us about this time period. That's why I think that the labor pain thing is important, because it's one little tiny short verse in that whole chapter, and I think it tells us something important that we have not looked closely at before. Or let me correct that, I haven't looked closely at before. Y'all are probably light years ahead of me on this. But I was praying about this, and I believe that the Lord showed me we had it backwards. A woman in travail starts out with pains. And having borne two children, I can tell you that as intense as those first labor pains are, when those intense pains get closer and closer, you literally cannot even breathe between them. They're so hard. And I think that's what's coming. And possibly, I don't know, but possibly when we get to the point where we can't breathe in between the pains, possibly that is the tribulation period, the anguish, you know, the agony that just goes nonstop. I think in order to answer that question, you have to know what is being birthed. Is it the return of Jesus, or is it something different? So I think from what the Lord showed me, while we're sitting here watching for the mega quake and thinking, okay, we got more time, we got more time, we got more time, the labor pains have been going on and getting closer and closer. He told me the time of sorrows had started in 01. That is 17 years ago. The earth has been in labor for 17 years. The list of disasters goes on and on, but I will stop there because I think you will see what I saw. For that complete list, you can go to ranker.com. There's other places that list a lot of the disasters, but they had the best list that I found and the most detailed. And the UN just released a report, by the way, that says there is a 151% increase in climate-related disaster costs in the last 20 years. How interesting. We just said that the Earth had been in labor for 17 years. The United States experienced more climate-related disaster economic losses than any other country during the 20-year span. In the last 20 years, 1.3 million people have been killed and 4.4 billion impacted by natural disasters. Earthquakes and tsunamis were responsible for 56% of those deaths. What if the mega quake is actually the finish and not the start? A world in travail. Every few weeks, it seems like there's a huge record-breaking disaster somewhere. And you can see by these that which ones are extraordinary in some way, not just normal weather events, but freak storms. Southwest Japan getting 3 times the rain they normally get in the whole month in just days. California having record-breaking fires, and then that record being shattered in more fires less than a year later. Hurricanes that wipe out whole cities. So let's take a quick look at how God deals with rebel nations. Nations that rebel against Him after He has blessed them, so we can see if this all lines up with His Word. When mankind became wicked and violent not long after creation, God sent a record-breaking flood to wipe out everybody in the world but Noah and his family. When the 5 cities of Sodom and Gomorrah turned to wickedness and refused to repent, God sent asteroids or meteorites or some form of fire and brimstone that burned them to the ground as soon as He had Lot and the believing part of his family out to safety. When other nations turned from God to doing wickedness, He sent war, famine, and pestilence, to help the people see that they needed to repent, like in Jeremiah 24:10, that says, "And I will send the sword," the sword means war, "the famine and the pestilence among them, till they be consumed from off the land that I gave unto them and to their fathers." God blessed Israel. He prospered Israel. And then when the people honored him, you know, God took them into a land that was flowing with milk and honey. When they obeyed him, you know, he told them, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to protect you from your enemies." And he told them, "I want you to keep the law. I want you to keep the Sabbath day." You know, that was so they wouldn't overwork themselves. And he told them to watch out for the remaining nations around them, whose gods would become a snare to them if they didn't. Then, when Israel ended up following those other nations into idolatry and sexual immorality, God sent famines and pestilences on the land. And he loved that land. They were his chosen people. He loved them. You know, there are a lot of people that say, "Oh, God loves America. He would never judge." No, you're wrong. You could not be more wrong. He is a holy God, and the rules are the same for everybody. If he will do it to his own people, he will certainly do it to America. And anyone who thinks otherwise is just kidding themselves. So the Bible also shows us where God refused to intervene when destruction came upon Israel. That's part of judgment. Your enemies come after you if you're under judgment. God's not going to reach down there and save you from them. They're going to be able to come in and invade you and take over. God's chosen people had defied him, built idolatry, temples of idolatry where they worshiped the little statue gods and whatever. And they were in sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, committing murders and violence. They had desecrated the temple and ignored the law for generations. God sent his prophets to call them to repentance, but they would not listen, and they often killed the prophets because they didn't like what they were saying. The Lord had warned them repeatedly, and when they refused to listen, he sent judgment in the form of invaders who took them captive and destroyed their land. You can read about that in 2 Kings 24 if you want. A lot of the nations of those days are gone now, because they brought God's judgment on themselves. Edom is one, Jeremiah 49. Assyria in Zephaniah 2. Sodom in Genesis 18. Babylon, Jeremiah 51. They were all wiped out. And according to the prophets, it was for their evil before the Lord. There are a number of peoples that are gone too. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" God prefers repentance to judgment. He prefers to show mercy to judging. But when people will not repent, he is bound by his word to send judgment. God's judgment in the flood in Noah's day was worldwide. The coming judgment before the return of Jesus will be worldwide. Each nation, each country, each city, each family, each person will be judged according to whether they believe and have tried their best to obey him or not. The labor pains are getting closer. The birth is approaching. Are you ready? That's all I have for y'all today. I hope this has been a blessing to you. Thanks for listening. Jesus bless you. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. Have you heard? The 2016 and 2017 messages have been published in book form. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss in the world around us. What is coming for our world in these last days? What does the Lord want us doing while we're waiting for His glorious reappearance? Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night each contain approximately 200 prophetic messages and visions from the throne room of God telling what is coming to America and the world in these end times. The Lord has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Time of Reckoning and Soon It Will Be Night, available now on Amazon.com. Have you ever been betrayed by someone you love deeply? If you have, then you know being betrayed by someone you love can be a life-altering experience. What you may not know is that every Christian must pass the test of absolute betrayal at least once in their Christian walk if they want to go higher. No test hurts more or pulls more strongly on your emotions than when someone you love completely turns against you. Do you know how to pass this test? Through a revelation received from the Lord, I share the good news about why betrayal visits Christians and how to pass this test once and for all. Don't let your betrayal catch you by surprise. Get the Judas Test on Amazon.com in print and Kindle versions. The Judas Test.